This podcast was produced on the lands of the Dja-Dja-Wurrung. We pay our respects to elders past and present and express our gratitude for their care of this country and extend that respect to all First Nations people listening.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven.
What's this one say?
Climate change.
Climate change. What's this last one here?
Drought.
Drought.
Maybe one day climate change might change so much that maybe the world might turn into a square.
Well, I know one thing about the climate change. If there's a red sky in the morning, that would mean that there's rain coming.
I'm only 16, so there's a lot of things to go. And I mean, if we don't start changing things now, then things are going to get really sideways by the time I'm old enough and the next generation of kids come through.
Like, it might cause all the heat might change the world and shapeshift it.
One of the challenges of adapting to the changing climate is simply imagining a world that's different from the one we know and expect to wake up to every day.
Because the climate change is turning so strong that if we don't stop it, the world might turn into something different.
I'm Kyla Brittle and this is Everything We Need, a climate podcast about making change in our lives for the better. With stories about people asking what can we do to adapt using the tools and materials we have now and rethinking what we all need to thrive now and into the future.
Most of our projections of climate change only extend out to 2100, but out towards that second half of the century where children born today will be living the prime part of their lives, we're looking at global temperature changes of between 1.5 to 3 degrees, potentially more. And so climate conditions start to move towards more of those sort of extreme events, such as the floods and the bushfire conditions of 2019. So the limits that we're used to dealing with, we start to go beyond those limits, and they are things that we haven't experienced before, and also that our infrastructure isn't set up to go beyond those limits. It's going to start impinging on people's lives more regularly.
Graham Green, Principal Advisor on Climate Change Science for the South Australian Government. It's difficult imagining what life will be like when people who are young today are in their prime. In my experience, the difference between 1.5 and 3 plus degrees is about choosing a t-shirt over a skivvy, not the difference between really bad and catastrophic. Though, of course, we're all closer to understanding what the numbers really mean, because the planet has already warmed by almost 1 degree, and the impact of that is severe enough. But has it changed the way you think about the future? It kind of has for me, but maybe not really enough. It certainly made me more worried for the young people I care about, and how I don't want them to feel woken up in the middle of the night with someone banging on their window, sudden, unexpected, unprepared for this situation. I want them to feel supported and able to respond. So how do we help young people prepare for change when we haven't dealt with it so well ourselves? Troy Butler is someone who's upfront about not having all the answers, and it hasn't stopped him from stepping up to support the young people in his life.
So yeah, this is another beautiful garden that was installed by myself. So I actually came in, this was my first job, this garden through here.
Troy Butler works at the Maryborough Education Centre, which is a primary, secondary and special needs school rolled into one. It's on Jarra Country, about an hour and a half drive from the regional city of Ballarat in Victoria.
Yeah, I started here 4 years ago as a contractor, doing the maintenance, and a job came up as the groundsman and sustainability officer the start of last year.
The kids say, what do you do here? You know, you're just the gardener, you know. But when I started here, I said I wanted sustainability and groundsman written on my clothes, you know. So on my shirts, I just turn around and say, read it, guys. This is what I do.
Troy feels for the students at his school and how they've been let down by the system they were born into.
These kids are scared of the future. You know, they do realise that we've stuffed up and they're a bit lost.
It's not just their age that puts them in the front line of climate impacts, but their postcode. and how climate change makes existing inequity worse.
Maryborough is a wonderful community, and many people will be aware that it has socioeconomic challenges and in a number of studies ranks as the most disadvantaged local government area in Victoria.
Troy wanted to do something to help support these young people reclaim the situation and decided to start up a sustainability leadership group, basically a club for anyone across all grade levels interested in climate change and doing something about it.
So I approached the principal and asked if it would be a good idea, and he was really for the idea.
The right person came along at the right time, and Troy's shows through his role modelling how to lead a more sustainable life and create a more sustainable organisation. So he does that with the kids, but he's also keeps me and the teachers, you know, he supports us to learn as well.
Straight away, oh, we'll just have a little green army to pick up the rubbish. And I went, no, it's much more than that.
I heard about it that it was like to help make the school and everything a better place. So I thought that that would be good.
It was over an assembly, actually, over an assembly, and Troy was talking about it, and I thought, yeah, it's something I might want to do.
As soon as they actually said it was going to start, I was like, this is a thing for me. And I just love the environment, and I hate how climate change is happening and global warming.
And come straight here to Troy's office, and I seen him. Got a little form that I had to fill out.
This form for Troy, and we had to go through interviews and all that. And most people got in. I don't think there was anyone who didn't get in.
And then a couple of weeks later, he came up to me and said that I'm in as a senior school leader. And yeah, been in it ever since.
So that first group, first day, I went, oh no, what have I got myself into? Especially the younger kids. G'day Max, how are you? So with my sustainability group, maybe you can go up and just grab some pens and stuff.
We're in the library today. We've got some activity books on climate change. So we've invited a year one and two class up with my sustainability leadership group to go through the books and do the activities and enjoy the morning.
Don't let the little kids have the scissors do the cutting.
Say, I don't want to give those out. All right, be the one.
Yeah, that first group, the first day, that first meeting, there was only 18, 19 of the students, but it was like having a group of 60. It really was.
If they were like your little kids, like preps or something, that would be very, very loud.
They were just so excited just to be out of class and running around and doing something new.
The thing that's hard about it is when they don't really listen or they do the opposite of what you tell them, like that the table that was over there, they weren't very listening.
I had to make it fun. As an example, we had a game last week and it was called The Raft, and it was made out of all recycled blocks and all that sort of stuff, and just relating it back to what our purpose is.
It's about overcoming the problems, isn't it? Not really having problems, but overcoming them.
And once the students saw what it was about, they started talking to their friends. Other students were coming over. What are you doing over here?
Because my friend's just like, hey, you should join. So I'm just like, okay, sure.
Even teenagers are a part of it. And then I was like, I really want to join it.
It's really good, yeah.
I didn't even ask what it was about. I just really wanted to join it.
So now we've got about 40 involved. We've got about 8 senior students and about 32 junior students.
The Sustainability Leadership Group has been popular with the students, but it hasn't been easy and has taken a long time for the rest of the school to understand the club's purpose.
For the last 12 months since the group's been going, that's all I've been getting. Oh, when are they going to be picking up rubbish? When are they going to be picking up rubbish? And it's like, mate, they're not going to be picking up rubbish. This is a leadership group. This is to make them think bigger than just picking up rubbish. It's how can we fix that problem?
And with so many students joined up to the group, Troy was struggling to manage it all alongside his duties as the school gardener and groundsman.
Yeah, I'm not an octopus, you know, and I haven't got all the answers.
And that's how Troy hit upon an idea that came from his own experience as a young person, something that helped him navigate the world when the closest adults to him weren't always the best ones to follow.
That's where I come up with the mentor program and engage the senior students to be the juniors' mentors.
wait, this one's another one. Hopefully not another drought.
Then their crops can't grow, and they can't sell what they're growing. Oh no, sorry, no, we have to write down who we think's been impacted. So who gets affected by each of these?
A couple of my senior students that joined the group just to get out of class. So it was really good to make them mentors and give them purpose. To be honest, that's why I started this group, to give those guys the opportunity, because they don't get the opportunity. Those type of people are usually pushed to the side, or they're so filled up with their own stuff they can't see the opportunity. And this environment is sometimes their safe space. So if it's where they feel safe is where we can make the most change.
I don't know, how do you do that with the kids? How do you empower them, I guess?
Treating them as equals and being vulnerable. I think that's been one of the biggest things I've come across in this school is, and work in this environment, is to be vulnerable and not to walk around with your chest out, knowing everything and being able to draw from these fantastic people. I didn't know any of this. I've had to have mentors in my life. As an adolescent, as a young teenager boy, I missed a lot of opportunities when it came to mentors. And I, you know, you look back and you go, oh, that guy was reached out to me, you know, and I could have gained a lot of from him. But when I was about 10, 11, I had a really good friend of the family. I used to call him Uncle Pete, and he was my mentor. And he showed me how to be vulnerable. Oh, I'm struggling with this, Troy. You know, I really like to get this achieved. And it was just, as a young boy, it was just like, oh, I've got something to do here now. After Uncle Pete died, I had an apprenticeship and I had a really hard time with my boss. And I was abused in my job and all that sort of stuff. So it showed me two flip sides of the coin, and I could see what was benefit and what wasn't benefit. So then I was open to better mentors in my life, and I was starting to be a mentor myself.
I don't really think so. Not really sure what sustainability means.
It's about like the nature and the habitat and like the life cycle of animals and things like that, and it's about like respecting it and how to recycle and things like that and what bin to put things in.
A lot of their mentors, their parents and stuff are distracted, more distracted these days with their mental health and separated families and relationship breakdowns and the pandemic and their struggles with work and with climate change. It's hard not to get pulled down into it. We can always look at things in a more positive light and move together as a community, you know.
Thanks, buddy.
Does it make you feel a little bit cross with the adults ending on this world, which is so...
Well, they've had so long to actually help fix it, and yet they haven't done anything since round now. So yeah, it sort of makes me cross, but then I'm like, they didn't really know earlier on.
And do you think you'll still keep on working for climate change?
Yes, I definitely will. It's my passion, I love it. And I just think that I need to keep doing this to actually feel like I'm doing something.
The whole reason behind this group is to make them understand that they can make change as a small group and a small community. Who knows what they're going to grow into and what change they're going to make? My little group I've started here is the seed. The seed for the future for this area. I'm a gardener for a reason. I'm seeds, big things grow.
I find it refreshing how Troy's supporting young people, not by doling out the wisdom and glossing over the awkward bits, but making space for them to support one another and asking them to think beyond band-aid solutions and set tasks to how to get us out of this mess.
And if you were the ruler of the world, what would you do?
Well, what I'd do is I'd, like, the only thing we're going to use is a wooden mallet and that it's giant, and then we're gonna like smash all the cars and then keep by bikes and stuff so we can still go on short things.
Many thanks to Aaron Ashbrook for sharing his thoughts, and to everyone else you heard in the story too: Troy Butler, David Sutton, Ella Crofts, Jacob Olver, Cody Robertson, Evelyn Axford, Thomas Campanelli, Michaela Stork, Ruben Vanland, Zallery Bowler, Ali Whittle, and Graham Green. In the next episode, I'm going nowhere, staying right at home in Castlemaine, the big town in the small shire of Mount Alexander, where a tiny bespoke community composting scheme is challenging the status quo.
It's about people reconnecting where they live and really doing what it is to serve life in place.
So make sure you're following Everything We Need on SBS Audio or wherever you get your podcasts. Everything We Need is written, recorded, edited and produced by me, Kyla Brettle, with Jane Curtis as story editor, writing show notes and providing additional research and production assistance. All the music you heard was by Rob Law. Production photography by Carmen Bunting. And all made possible with support from SBS Audio. A shout out to Caroline Gates and Joel Supple. This podcast is based on an earlier documentary called Climate Ready Stories, produced as part of the Victorian State Government's Climate Ready Plan for the Loddon Mallee, co-produced by Endgame Media with executive production from Donna Caetana. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Kyla Brettle. See you next time.